and welcome to Documenta and Son Being, the adventures of a dad who's gay and a son who's figuring shit out. My name is Documenta Barbarism, a feast for intensity addicts.
And I'm Dingle Mary, the herb that's superb for disturbances at sea.
Wait a second. You can't use that one. That is copyrighted.
Well, see, I've given up on trying to come up with original ones, and I've decided I'm just going to steal from you and do ones that I remember particularly.
You're just going to go into my back catalog?
Exactly. I'm just going to go back and listen to old episodes.
Okay. I think that's actually the very first one I ever used.
It is. I know for a fact it is.
Well, it's all right, because at least you fucked it up.
Is it an herb that's a herb?
It's an herb.
An herb.
You said the herb, which I guess is not necessarily fucking it up. It might just be a reclamation.
Yeah. It's I am the, not just one of many.
Got it. So you're better.
Yeah, I'm like establishing myself as the dominant herb that's superb for disturbances at sea.
You are superb for disturbances at sea.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, then. Welcome, listeners.
Welcome to Piracy, the podcast. Oh, boy.
Piracy, the podcast?
Well, yeah, because I pirated the
I was going to make a joke about herbology, but then I realized that's some Harry Potter bullshit, right?
Yeah, it is. It's like the plant things that scream. That's herbology.
Yep, it sure is.
Two things. One, it's been a long time since I've watched Harry Potter. And two, I try to think about that series as little as possible.
My name is Documenta Barbarism, the plant things that scream.
That's actually good.
So we went into the city. And we've got a lot to process.
We do.
First of all, have you recovered from the emotional and psychological damage you sustained from the many, many, many compliments I received from random passersby and employees about my bag, my look, about all of that? Have you recovered?
No comment.
Okay, I guess not. So we really do need to talk through it and process it. Well,
Let's start with the big one first.
The big one? What, when getting out of the car?
Well, no, hold on. No.
Oh, with the approach?
Yes.
We'll get there. No, let's go chronologically.
Okay, fine.
We don't have to talk about it, I guess. I was thinking it would be nice to process, but who cares? No. We had a spat. We got out of the car. I was being stressy. You were being things that made me stressy. I didn't behave the best.
I will admit, it's my fault that the zipper on my jacket got stuck, which led to your stress.
And that the water bottle rolled out of the car into the muddy water, which then got onto my back seat when you casually tossed the water bottle into the car.
I did it just casually. I first inspected it, and upon first glance, it looked clean enough.
Which is even worse that you actually thought.
Well, because it hadn't rolled into the giant puddle of water that was right there. And
I was holding the library books, and I was like, I gotta just get these goddamn library books back. I've had them for 2 years.
And you're only now accruing late fines.
Why isn't your jacket zipped? Yeah, you're right. It was pretty lame. And then we tried to go into the school, and the guy was being weird. I was like, here's my pass, which is what you're supposed to show. He's like, let me see your school ID. I was like, here's my pass.
Yeah.
I was like, boy, I just want to drop off books. And I think he was saying, you can't go in the library. I don't know.
I don't remember. Maybe did they like change their security system in the past 2 years or something?
Well, they've changed it a ton. They changed it regularly because that's what CUNY does. They change shit just to change it. And now we've got a new website just for some reason because they wanted a new website. And nothing works and no one knows where to find anything.
Awesome. Epic.
In fact, the passes that we use to get onto campuses, they had a previous system they were using when people went back to school. They switched to this system because they were going to get scanners. Then people could just scan their phones as they walked in, but they ended up not being able to get the scanners or something went wrong with the scanners. So they switched, made this huge switch that was a big inconvenience for everybody for absolutely no reason.
No, people have gotten at my school have gotten really angry that people don't use the scanners just to scan their ID for lunch. And I don't think it's even specifically the lunch ladies. It's like the school management is requiring everyone to either know their ID number or have their ID to scan, even though it makes no sense because the lunch ladies can really easily just ask for your last name, find you, and then put in the order that way.
It's the surveillance state, bitch.
It is.
What can I say?
so dumb.
Anyway, after the whole debacle, the whole library fiasco, we finally made our way down to Soho, and it was just like deja vu. Here we are in Soho again, going to look at art.
And we walked past the same Le Pan Quotidien, the same French restaurant whose name I'm never going to pronounce correctly.
Same Alexander Wang shop, and you bitched at me again in the same way about the puffy coat.
I wanted the puffy coat.
Which was never yours to have.
I wanted the puffy coat.
And we went to the Leslie Loman again, which we'll talk about in another episode, what we saw. We went to Cap Cap Gallery, which is in Tribeca. I mean, technically, apparently it's not the real Tribeca for people who live there, but it's technically, it's in Tribeca. I mean, it's below canal.
Oh, okay.
It's in the triangle below canal, so it's Tribeca.
Got it, yeah.
And we went to Baz Bagel.
Oh my god, I just got Becca. Oh, it's the triangle beneath canal.
Triangle below canal, yeah.
Moving on.
I've told you that before.
I knew that it was, I like vaguely remember that it was just the area south or below canal, but I never made the connection that that's why it's Becca, why it's Tribeca.
Yeah, Tribeca, triangle below canal.
So dumb.
It's one of the newer like neighborhood designations, so it's not, it's not a real one.
Oh, okay.
And then we went to Baz Bagel, which was delish.
Oh my god, it's so good.
I don't know if we just hadn't had a bagel in a while or something, but I swear that was like the best bagel really I've ever eaten.
They were really good.
And it was windy as shit and garbage was blowing all over the place. You didn't, I don't think you saw because you were facing away when the employee came out to change the garbage.
Oh, somebody changed. I noticed that it was changed.
You know, she just came out, just looked around. And you could just see her whole, even though she was wearing a mask, you could just see her whole countenance fall.
I feel so bad. No, but I was like standing in the little like outcropping that they set up, right? Waiting for our food. And I heard someone say, oh shit, clatter, clatter. And I turn around and I just see this garbage just go, ooh, it just roll away. And it like still had food and stuff.
It was a garbage storm.
Yes, it was hilarious. But
weird ass weather that day.
It really was.
It went from cold to hot
to snow
zero
squall,
visibility snow
to,
squall
to winds causing like negative
yeah degree to like the weather. Coldest wind I've ever felt.
And then like immediately once we got in the car, it started taking hold and got like way better. No, the wind was actually still strong like the whole way
home.
Windy
the whole way home.
Yeah, I actually felt the like the shake.
These Daytona winds, bitch. I'm here to clear the air. Maxine! Raise your lighters for Lady Camden. So there was the garbage storm. And oh, we missed my... So the first compliment I got was for my bag. It was my little red Brandon Blackwood Kendrick trunk. It was at Cap Cap.
Yeah.
And I realized that the two twinks there, I think maybe like the twin brothers who like own it and run it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what the Cap Cap Gallery is. It's owned by two twin gay brothers.
Are their last name Cap?
Yeah.
I think so.
Presumably, yeah. So maybe that was them there. Like, I don't know if they can even afford staff since they just opened that gallery in Tribeca.
Yeah.
Anyway, so one of them.
I do want their shade of blue computer.
Did they have a blue computer?
They had a blue computer. It was a Mac and it was blue.
Oh, bitch, I did not notice that. Was it a laptop?
No, it was a this.
It was an iMac?
It was an iMac. And it was blue?
Okay, I'm going to have to do some research on that.
I know, right?
That's hot.
If I get an iMac, it would be blue. Or red. One or the other.
Okay, get a job.
Oh, hey!
So, one of the Cap Twinks.
We can't call them Cap Twinks.
I don't even know who it was.
I don't think we're legally allowed to call
one of,
them.
One of the nice gentlemen at
there we go.
For complimented my bag, and I was like, oh, thanks. And then the best and weirdest compliment of the day came when we were walking down. What street is on? Is it on Grant?
It was on the same street.
Grand. Yeah, Grand Street. We were walking down Grand from Baz Bagel to Leslie Loman. And we're standing at the street corner, and take it away.
No. I don't have the words to describe this.
Just say what happened.
Okay. These two people just, like, came up, and they complimented you on your look.
I'll just start.
No, they asked if you were, like, if you did modeling.
They just said, can I talk to you for a second?
That's right. That was weird.
And so usually, of course, my first thought is, like, oh, okay, well, like, they want some money, or they're, like, trying to save the whales, like, what is this?
Yeah.
So we turn around and there is this little, did they They just called themselves Asian, right? They didn't say specifically where they were from.
Yeah, they referred to themselves as Asian at one point.
It was little Asian. I thought it was a couple at first. We learned later they were brother and sister.
Yeah.
One of them, the brother, is carrying their groceries. He's got, like, a thing of toilet paper in his hands with that the straps that they put on it. Like the
which broke off halfway through the conversation, yeah. And he just picked it up.
And then she was like, hi, I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm a photographer. I want to take pictures of you, basically. Like, literally, that was the pitch.
That was the prompt.
And then you remember what I was pretty proud of my response.
You said that you only do nudes.
Yeah. And then, I said, sure, but I should warn you that I only do nudes.
And then I'm assuming the intent was sarcastic, right? Yeah. And then she's like, oh, no, yeah, that's fine.
And the brother was like, oh, yeah, you should see some of the stuff you do. And I was like, okay, interesting. But then I started getting the hard sell. Like, it was just so weird. I didn't totally know what to make of it. She was just showing me her phone. Remember, she's like, here's some of my work for my website. She's just like looking at me and like scrolling through her phone. Like, look, here's work that I've done in magazines. I'm like, okay, cool. This is surreal. Like it's crazy and weird, but it seems legit. We'll just keep talking.
You established several times that you don't have money either.
I did, yeah. So I think the first, because I was trying to be all cool, I was being like, okay, like, do you have a price list or like what's the a quote sheet? I think no, or I was like,
you said something along those lines.
Yeah. So then she was like, well, I can't remember exactly what she said. It's something like, well, you can pay for it if you want, but I think she really was just saying she wanted to include to photograph me for a portrait project that they're working on.
Yeah.
She's a photographer. He's the art director.
Yeah.
And then, so we were talking a bit there. Yeah. And that was the best part was when they asked, they're like, so what do you do? So they were saying we want to, like, they were really laying it on thick. They're like, we will not want to take pictures of interesting, fashionable people. They were like, we assumed, we looked at you, we thought you were a stylist or in fashion or something. And I was like, that's right, bitch. Yes, you did. Because why wouldn't you?
And then you promptly said, I do nothing.
I was like, yeah, I think I did say that.
I do nothing. I was like,
nope. I have a podcast.
I said that you have a podcast.
I was like, I'm a grad student. So I think there was this weird like thing of like, we just really didn't know what to make of each other.
No, yeah, it's true.
Which I love. I mean, I get that people often don't know what to make of me, especially when I'm dressed to the nines and stuff, because they don't expect someone that looks like this and is this, like, fat. I mean, I'm not that fat, but I'm fat. And just, like, weird size, weird proportion to, like, give a shit. They don't expect someone to, like, have style, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just this weird – I wish someone had recorded it, because I would like to see my body language during it, because it wasn't – like, it felt cool, but I had my guard up a little bit.
You did, yeah.
And one thing that I was going to tell you why is because, you don't remember this, but when you were little, we got approached. We've told you about our attempt to make you a child model, right?
What?
Yes, we've talked about it. Because we got that, we were at the farmer's market in downtown Salt Lake one Saturday in the summer, and this guy came up to us, and he's like, oh, we would love to have your son as one of our clients, like, child modeling.
Oh, yeah.
But it was, like, basically a scam. There was this thing where you pay them $1,000 to, like, be the model, to be the kid's modeling agent. But all they do is they bring you in. We went into one cattle call that they had for some campaign where there were, like, dozens of other parents with their kids there. So we got basically bilked out of $1,000. And it was when we did not have a lot of money. It was, like, right after the... I even remember I was such a fucking idiot.
Was it right after 2008?
Yes.
Oh,
and I even
shit.
Remember I was being like, well, you know, President Bush told us we should be spending money to like stimulate the economy. And I remember Dingle Mommy was like, that's not what he meant. We were young. We were stupid. That's what they do. They prey on people's dreams of easy money.
Yeah.
And we were like, hey, all right. Now this bitch can finally start paying for himself.
I was three.
You were tired. But we got that amazing photo shoot out of it, which is what that cute black and white picture of you is from.
Wait, really?
Yes, because we had to get headshots. Like, we had to get, like, a book. We had to make a book.
Oh!
So my brother took those pictures. We went down to Provo, and he took those shots of you.
So,
So, basically, those pictures cost us $1,000. But they were worth it because it's like the cutest pictures ever of you with like your little spiky hair, your giant Cupid doll head.
Anyways, which hasn't changed size at all.
No, yeah, it was the same. This it's is the same size when you were born. Mm-hmm. Your body is just finally caught up almost.
Wow, thanks.
So I had that in mind too. Just being approached on the street, I was like, I was looking at like, what's the angle? What's the scam? Because as we learned in White Christmas, everybody's got an angle. But it seemed, it got to the point where they were like, yeah, we just want to take pictures of interesting people. So, and then she got really aggressive. She like pulled up her contacts.
Yeah, she says like.
She's like, we should exchange names and numbers.
Yeah, like, it felt like they really, really, really wanted you for this. Yeah,
which is great.
Yeah.
I really think that at the end of the day, they really do just want to take pictures of me and they're just awkward.
Yeah, like that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. And I even said that to them. I said, "I actually think I believe you because you're carrying
groceries." You did say that.
if they were trying to scam me, carrying toilet paper would probably not be the best way to convince me.
And then I think the brother said something about that, and we're Asians or something.
Yeah, that was when he said that they're Asian.
That's when he said that they were Asian.
But you know, they kept laying it on thick. He's like, "I work for Oprah," and she's like, "I work for all these magazines."
What does work for Oprah even mean?
Yeah. So then. I was like, well, I don't know. I don't want to give you my number, but I did follow her on Instagram. And I was like, here's me, so you can follow me. And then the brother, so then we went on to Leslie Lohman, and the brother added me. And he was like aggressively messaging me while we were in there. He like sent me this other account. He's like, do you ever follow these guys? They're intense. He's like, have you thought any more about it? I'm like, bro, we just talked to you.
I feel like that's me whenever I invite someone over to hang out.
Yeah, exactly.
That's either that totally. Either that or I'm waiting for someone to pick me up.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I know that shit. Yes, I'm always that person too. I'm always the really like the hyperactive, like, are we going to hang out now? Are we going to hang out now? Hey, you ready to hang out?
Do you want to do bowling later today or something?
Yeah. And so I haven't, they've kind of stopped messaging, but. I mean, I'm going to get in touch and just at least Zoom with them, get to hear a little more. Because I actually want pictures taken of me.
Yeah. And you said, like, you would do it if you get the JPEGs.
Which she said they would.
She said yeah, they're yours. Yeah.
So I really don't see a drawback. Yeah. And like I told you, even if they're going to use the pictures for something else, I can't imagine what that would be because no one would buy pictures of me for any. There's not.
And I'm like, Dad, that's really sad thing to say.
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah, yes, it would be sad if there were a negative feeling attached to
that's
that.
That's true.
And yes, I do have feelings about, obviously, my fatness and where I fit in gay society and things like that. But I also take it as a sign of pride.
Yeah.
It just means I'm not generic. Because you have
all
to.
All right. Good job. You found the good part in it. I like
yeah,
that.
Years ago. Yeah. You have that's to be, true. You have to be yeah. generic to be in a stock photo.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know. So who knows? But even if they wanted like scam and get these pictures, I mean, that's fine. Who cares?
So long as you get the JPEGs.
Yeah, I'm not giving them any money. So, you know, unless they're going to like rob me or something like that, which I seriously doubt.
That would be a very intense
scam. I think together I'm still way more than both of them put together, like just me. they were small people and older, so I think I could take them. And yes, this is the shit that goes through my head. And I should say too that I also part of what gets my guard up when it is like experiences I've had on the apps and talking to people and like times that I have definitely been scammed on the apps. You know, like no one's gotten any money or anything like that. But
the jump.
It's just, as I'm still emerging slowly into the world, I still have my guard up for things like this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it seems like a win-win.
Yeah.
Anyway, so stay tuned for the saga of the photograph. Really, it was really validating.
No, yeah. You were like, that was like all you talked about for the rest of the day.
I know, I was being
obnoxious. And you were like at one point, I think we might have been on the subway when you did this, and you were like... You were showing me her website, and you zoomed in, and you were like, does that say...
Oh, yeah, I was like checking her credits to make sure.
That's her name, right? And then I was like, yeah, it looks like it. And you're like, that could just have been photoshopped. I'm like, Dad, stop.
Yeah, I was being ridiculous. Yep. But that and the other compliments I got throughout the day. I got another, then at Leslie Lohman, the person complimented my bag, and then just another person on the street
just later, said, just randomly I love your jacket. Yeah. I was like... All right.
So it's very validating because I really don't fit in even there. Like there was not, you know, everyone around us was dressed in like all black.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Black jeans, black tops, black Doc Martens. Like black is still like has always been the uniform and probably always will be. But it was very validating that people could walk up to me on the street in Soho, of all places, where there are actually fashionable people. No, yeah,
this was like in, that was on like Charleston Street, right?
Or Grand.
Grand.
Yeah, this is not a Charleston Street.
I mean, Christopher Street.
No, that was not Christopher, that's up in the Village.
No, yeah, I thought you got a compliment there. I thought that was like,
oh, that's right, yeah, the one about my jacket. Yeah, that was on Christopher Street, yeah. I'm talking about the photographer.
The photographer one, yeah.
And think that I somehow was connected to fashion in any meaningful way. It felt cool.
Yeah.
Also because I had spent a long ass time putting the outfit together the night before and the morning of.
It was preventing me from going to sleep, I swear. Like I was like, all right, I've done all the stuff, I need to get ready for bed. And I was about to turn off the light and then you go. And I was like, oh my god, this is the fourth time he's choosing shoes.
Sorry.
And then I was like, at least I'm like comfortable with my look. And then you're like, hey, can you change your whole look to accommodate me? No,
just your shoes. I said, I'm doing the Red Fantasy, so would you consider changing your shoes? I didn't ask you to change your whole look.
I consented to change to a yellow fantasy instead of a red fantasy.
That's true. I'm just sorry that no one recognized. I mean,
it was because I had my coat zipped up because it was really cold. Otherwise, I would have gotten compliments on my jacket and shit.
Look, when the sun is shining brightly in people's eyes, that's me. I'm the sun.
Oh, I figured.
It just blots out everything around it. So it's not your fault that you were in the shadow of the sun.
I wish your water bottle that's right here was one that's easily squirtable so I could just squirt your face.
Okay.
Why? Why is everyone I'm related to and I'm friends with, well, not everyone I'm related to,
no, but just
all
me.
all the gays that I have a connection to, they're all, like, obsessed with sex jokes. I swear to God.
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break while I reconsider my life decisions.
Like what, being born to a gay? Yeah,
exactly. No, specifically the friends I've become friends with.
That's true. You don't have any choice with me.
Exactly.
And we're back. Oh, yes, we're back. Hi. We're back.
I don't know what to make of this persona.
There's not a persona. I'm just excited. We're back.
I don't know what to do with this energy.
It's not energy. We're just back.
Okay. You know it. You do you.
As I said, we went to Cap Cap. Cap 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 Cap. Cap 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 Cap. Gallery in Tribeca.
All of those caps, that is in the title of the gallery. Just want to make sure.
Uh-huh. Yes. It's the Cap 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 Cap
Cap Cap Cap Cap Cap Cap Cap Gallery.
Gallery.
Yeah.
In Tribeca, I was reading up on them a little. They're from New York, I guess, but their first gallery was in Philly. Mm. And as recently, I think they're closing that one down. They're just, seems like they're putting all of their efforts into this New York gallery. And I think it's primarily, if not completely, gay shit.
Woo!
Yeah, because as we talked about in our last episode with Leslie Lohman, there just aren't spaces for that, really. So anytime there is one, it's great.
Yeah.
And it was a cute space.
Yes.
On Walker, 86 Walker Street.
I think an integral part of the experience that we have to share is the terrifyingly claustrophobic, dangerous elevator ride up.
Jingle Mary has not spent a lot of time in large cities. So
It was just like...
You've never ridden in a residential elevator in Paris.
It was...
If you think that was small and scary.
It's not even... It's just that it was, like, kind of small. The inside of the elevator was fine. It, like, looked nice. But, it, like, as we were going up, at one point, it just shook really hard. And I was like...
Yeah, that's just how elevators are in those old buildings.
I guess.
But the elevator opened up into the gallery, which was swank.
Yeah.
And we went to see Stanley Steller, The Piers.
Is that his real last name?
I doubt it. I think it's just his artist name. I don't know. You know, yeah, Stanley Steller of the...
The Steller clan.
No, I was trying to think of a city. Anyway, it was a joke that, as we've learned, I should not try to actually make a joke because it doesn't work.
No, shame. It's true. It's the same for me.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I'm leaving. Podcast over.
Stanley Steller. He's lived in the same Tribeca loft for the last like 5 decades or something. He has been documenting gay life, downtown Manhattan especially, that whole time.
Yeah.
This exhibit was mostly unseen pictures from 80s, 90s, from the piers.
Oh, it went all the way to the 90s?
Well, I didn't realize that, yeah, but looking over this list, there's one or two that were... A lot of the ones that are a little... that don't look like you would get tetanus from looking at them. Those ones... I tend to be a little bit later.
That's an explanation and a half, and I appreciate it, because it really puts, like... I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, exactly. He's a rare bird in the fact that he's still around. He's from that period and still around, because he's not the only one to have taken pictures on the piers and of this area. I'm thinking especially of whatever it is that you think is funny. We're just going to move on.
It's just that you pulled up his Instagram, and then I saw that it was him. I was like, he's still alive? And I was like, the 80s was not that long ago.
Oh, is that why you were so surprised?
That's why I was, yeah. And then at first I was like, why did I say that? What does that even mean?
Well, it is a legitimate question when you're talking about gay artists from the 80s.
That's true.
And that's also why, that's why he's such a rare bird, because he's the last of his breed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking of someone like Alvin Baltrop, who I think is even more identified with the piers, with the docks. But he's dead. He died of cancer, yeah. I believe, not AIDS. We'll talk about him in another episode, because his shit is pretty amazing, too.
Okay, cool.
Or someone like Peter Hujar, there's some pictures of him in there, or David Wojnarowicz, like all these guys who were just lost to AIDS, basically.
Is that last one Wojnarowicz?
Wojnarowicz.
Thank you. Is he the guy who recorded his experience, just like life in the 80s, or who was that?
No, that was, we talked about him in another episode.
Yeah, I was trying to remember his name.
You're thinking of Nelson Sullivan.
Right.
David Wojnarowicz is they made the documentary of him, released by Kino Lorber, actually. Hey. Remember last year, Fuck You, Faggot Fucker?
Oh, yeah. That was him. Yeah.
And cool. There was a piece when we went to at Omniscient at Leslie Lohman, one of the pieces of, they had done in like a cross stitch of the image
That's where I knew that mouth shut.
Yeah. So all of these artists are associated with the piers, with this whole downtown scene. Do you understand when we say the piers? Do you understand, like, roughly where we're talking about? Did you get a concept of that?
Yeah.
Where?
Where Little Island is now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's maybe a bit north, but yeah, it is about there, yeah. Like, so the Meatpacking District.
Yeah, the edge of the Hudson River.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's actually called, like, Hudson River Park now, that whole area or something. But yeah, from what I understand, about Meatpacking District down to, like, Christopher Street Piers, that area. I don't think Chelsea Piers so much, but there could have been two. I don't really know. I'm not totally clear on the geography or the... But yeah, so Little Island, I remember, I think that's I Instagrammed, when I posted that, I said, Wojnarowicz fucked here. Like, the point being that, yes, it's all been gentrified, and every attempt has been made to erase the traces of that. But it's still, that area is still a gathering spot for gays, especially young black and Latino gays, trans, I'm sure, you know, all of that. But at the time that he took these pictures, it's old shipping piers that were in, you know, rubble, in complete disarray. But this was something that I stupidly had never really understood, was that there was a big fence up along the whole way, which is how they were able to get away with it.
Got it.
With like gathering and fucking and like sunbathing and walking around nude, was because there was a big fence. They would just slip in through a hole.
Got it.
Yeah. So what was your... As we were looking at these pictures, what did that era, what did that whole scene feel like to you? What did it seem like to be part of that scene?
I mean, it was all, all the images were examples of gays being gays, right? And like being themselves unapologetically. But also, it's just an example of how they've been relegated to literal decrepition. That's not a word.
Decrepitude?
Decrepitude is a word. And yes, I have read that word.
Yeah.
Like, they have to be themselves there in the rubble.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Sidelined, marginalized. But in the darkness, in the dirt, in the rubble, they're able to. It's like
bone.
A sexual utopia in a way. They are able to bone. Yeah, absolutely. And that was, you know, they really, putting together the exhibition and these images, really do make it look utopian.
Yeah, I agree.
They, which is, yes, and I also, that's also how I think of the era, but I think that's not really the whole story. I mean, I know there were also, like there was in some of the Alvin Baltrop ones, you see where it was, you know, someone had tagged on the wall that said, there are pickpockets in the area, like, be careful, you know, and there were murders, like, so yes, at the same time, while there was this freedom, with that freedom also came extra danger,
yeah.
Because they were also easy marks, you know, so it's not, and also like the fact that they could literally fall through a rotting floorboard or get tetanus from a nail. It's like, this is really just like buildings falling in on themselves, you know? So it's not like the most comfortable of place,
no.
But there is, it was free and it was unseen. And that's where we tend to flourish the most, is in the shadows.
Right. You said earlier, you could just get tetanus by looking at one of the images, and it's true. It's like rusted metal everywhere, and just like exposed rebar.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, it still seems pretty amazing, and I still would have loved to experience it in person.
Yeah.
But yes, as you said, Stanley Stellar is still alive and kicking. There's going to be a monograph produced, they said, with this. It's not out yet, mm-hmm. In conjunction with this exhibition. He produced, I think he self-produced a book earlier, because I was looking for it. It mentioned it on his website, but I couldn't find a record of it anywhere online. But then I went back through his Insta, and apparently he had all the copies. Like, it was only available through him.
Oh, wow.
It was called The Beauty of All Men or something. Though, as with most gay art, the definition of all is pretty narrow.
I figured.
Not a lot of fatties in any of these pictures. Actually, none.
Yeah,
unless we're talking about the dicks. There's, but yeah, it's the usual, and I feel like people must be sick of hearing me say this, because I get sick of saying it, but it's true. It's true all of the times. It's always true. It's never not true. There are just no fatties.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Everyone's skinny and beautiful, and maybe there just aren't fat gays in New York. I know that there are, but you don't tend to see them anywhere.
Yeah. They are in the dark shadowed area of the dark shadowed area.
Yeah, totally, absolutely.
Not only do they just get tetanus, they get like tetanus in several like
locations. They're like hanging from the docks.
Yeah, exactly. So
where no one can see them. They're like barely like holding on to the docks.
Yeah, they're holding on to the underside.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I'll be the first one when I move there in a couple years. So be it. That's fine. So when we're talking, it's not really all men, but there is a lot of beauty on display.
Yeah.
And should we talk about some of the images?
Sure.
All right. So this one is interesting. It's called Turquoise. It's from 1978 because it's in black and white, so we can't really see that. But he does talk about how they had this strange decaying beauty, these walls, because they were painted turquoise from whenever it had been an office for shipping or whatever, you know. So this one's one of the... Wait, maybe there was someone in this one. I don't remember.
It doesn't look like it.
I don't think there was.
Oh, nope. There's a ghost at the end of the hallway.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, there could very well be.
There is someone. We just can't see them.
So there's a lot of... Yeah, a lot of nudity, which is great, which we love. A lot of people in flagrante delicto.
Yeah, one of them's just called Hard Dick.
Yes, let's start with Hard Dick. That's a good idea. It's from 1982, 14 by 11 inches. It's this, he's not super muscly, but he's definitely butch.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got his jeans on.
Mm-hmm. He's got the Justin Timberlake in Time haircut. That's exactly what his haircut looks like in that movie.
That is true. That's very funny, because that's not like a reference that anyone would ever go to or even know what the fuck you're talking about. But oh, that's great. He really does. He's got the Justin Timberlake in Time haircut. But I bet Justin Timberlake's dick is not that big.
With surgery?
What? Has Justin Timberlake had dick enlargement surgery? What are you talking about?
You don't know. He might have.
No. I seriously doubt it. But yeah, he's just sent. And you know, he's kind of... It's interesting. What's cool about it is that... So he's in... like profile,
yeah,
right? So he's his body is in profile, his dick is in profile, but his torso, he's twisting towards the camera, so there's movement, you know, there's this great movement. He's raising his hand like to his mouth.
It I thought he had the cig in his mouth. Does he not have a cig in his mouth?
He could very well
not have in his mouth, in his hand.
In his hand?
Yeah.
He could be raising a cigarette. But what else could, I mean, what else does that movement or that motion or image imply?
Drink.
Drink?
Yeah, he's like raising his hand. He's raising his mug to take a drink.
His mug? Yeah, well, okay, yes, he could be playing charades. That's true.
Three but, words.
But no, he's not holding a cigarette.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, so it's got, whatever the gesture is, it's a very, this is a very, this person is very, and I mean this in both ways, cocky.
Yeah.
Right? There's no shame.
No.
Not an ounce of shame. No. And you can see the water, he's kind of next to a wall, you can see the water, I guess that would probably be what, like Hoboken across the river, Jersey probably, City, yeah. Down there. Yeah, it's cool. And, you know, it says what it is on the tin.
Yeah, he has a massive dick and it makes me feel inept.
Yeah, yet another way for us to fill in up. Yep, that's true, because that's what boys want, apparently.
Yep.
But it's still cool.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of dicks. This is another one just called torso, which is a bit misleading.
Yeah, it's torso, legs, and dick.
Yeah, the torso only takes up about a third.
Yeah, because, like, his arm kind of covers it, even.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So interestingly, it always gets a little interesting when you have a white photographer taking pictures of a black man, especially when it comes to gay artists, gay photographers. I know there's a bit of this in Mapplethorpe's work. For example, looking at Hard Dick, that person, we see his subjectivity, right? We see his personality, like that person is a person.
Yes, I am looking at Hard Dick.
No, do you understand what I'm saying?
I do understand, though, yes.
Yeah, so even though it's titled Hard Dick, and that's clearly, like, what the eye is drawn to because it's...
because a wooga.
Well, yes, but also because it's, like, a white dick against black background, right?
Yeah.
But still, we see his playful expression, we see the movement of the hand, the turning of the torso. There's a lot at play there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in torso, where we see the torso and the legs, and again, a giant dick... of a man who is black, but no head.
No.
Which is not to say Stanley Stellar is a racist. It's just that...
It's not like the image of Martha near Stonewall that somebody wrote, fur is cruel because she was wearing a fur coat.
Oh, yeah, Martha B. Johnson. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yes, fur is cruelty. But it was just so random to write on a picture of Marsha P. Johnson across the street from fucking Stonewall. Like, let's get a little intersectional here.
I know. The fucking balls on that person.
Yeah. Or probably just ignorance.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Noted despot Marsha P. Johnson was spotted wearing fur. Anyway, yes. And actually, Stanley Stellar has a great portrait of Marsha P. Johnson, too.
Oh, really?
They were friends, like, all the way, he said, all the way from when he came out in the 60s. Like, they were in the same scene. Wow. And he said he had a lot of respect for her because it was not like it is now. I mean, it's not 100% perfect for gays now in the city, but it was even worse back then, you know? They had the threat of violence everywhere they went. So for him, the way he said it is that for her to even get from her home down to Christopher Street was an incredible act of bravery every time, but she managed to, you know, so that's why he found her appealing. So he's got a really great portrait of her.
That wasn't in this collection, right?
No. That one is well known, and that's one of the better known. It's not like the famous picture with the flower crown that everyone knows, but yeah. But anyway, so it's not to say that, but you do, and he does this with white people too. But when there are so few black bodies on display anyway, the way that they get to reduce to just a body becomes a little questionable. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's a sexualization and a dehumanization that's pretty much always inherent in white gay art of the black bodies.
Yeah.
And yeah. And especially because, so, you know, this one is called Hard Dick and Torso. Maybe he's being playful. Maybe he's being ironic here because the torso is a small part of it. Because really, the dick, let's be honest, is even larger.
Yes, and it's centered.
And it's centered on the image. So maybe he's playing around here. You know, maybe he's being playful. He's being a little silly.
He's saying that the dick is the same size as the torso.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's calling the dick torso-sized.
Yeah.
I really like this one, Tableau. because it gives you an impression of the, it's from August 1980. You see there's multiple planes of action going on here. How would you describe Tableau, August 1980?
So in the background, we see a bridge. Is that George Washington Bridge?
Which Where? There's no bridge. That's
Oh, like that's a wall. Never mind. Ignore me. There's a wall.
No, the GWB is up in Washington Heights, way up
There's down. A wall. There is one person leaning on the wall in the back. Another person, it kind of looks like he's smoking. He's fully clothed. And then front in the image is two men making out. One of them is butt naked.
Yeah, the one he's facing away from us. Yeah. So we see back and crack.
We see brack.
No, we see back and crack.
Oh.
Yeah, so
we see cat,
and so this is kind of a little picnic scene. It seems like they came and set up a blanket maybe on the pier, so they've got that. But then it also just looks like there's garbage.
Yeah,
so there's, and in this one right below it too, late afternoon from 1980, like there's just garbage and it's not particularly clean. Mm-mm. So you've got different stages of connection here. You've got the guy in the very back looking over at this fellow over here. So there's. Seems like there's some cruising going on, you know, like they're looking around. This guy has his back turned to this couple, so it's almost like they're off limits or...
Yeah.
Or I don't know. So it's really interesting. It's this...
Or maybe he just got done participating.
Yeah, he's like moving on to the next.
Yeah.
But there's I really like the way that the gaze is being used in this, even though no one is actually looking towards or at the camera.
Yeah.
So you still follow the gazes around, even though you can't even see the guy's whole head. But then you also have this massive figure that seems like a graffitied figure or something on the wall there in the back.
Yeah, I thought it was like shadow.
No, I think that's painted.
Is it painted?
Yeah. And that was, I noticed that there was some, it was not just a space for sex. It was also people gathering and creating community and also making art. Mm-hmm. So, for example, this one, Peter at the door. Pretty sure this is Peter Hujar standing in a doorway, but around the doorway you see some Keith Haring pieces. Mm-hmm. So you didn't remember who Keith Haring is, right?
No, but I remembered his work.
You did? Okay, yeah. So it's the little, you know, his little stick. They're not stick figure, but the like traced, like the outlined guys with the movement, with the lines, the wavy lines around them.
I love the wavy lines.
So there was art being made there too, not just the art, the actual art piece we're looking at, which is a photo. So it's the photo of an artist standing under art.
This is a picture of a picture.
No, it's a this is a picture of a picture because we're looking at it on the computer. And
we can see line.
It's a picture of an artist under art.
I don't like that.
Why?
That causes my brain hurt.
No, it's awesome. It's so It's so vivid, you know, and it's there's so much life.
It's just that explanation causes my brain hurt. It's the wording.
Got it. I see. All right. How about doorway fuck?
Yeah, sure. I wish I had known that was called that when I went to the gallery first, because that would have made it my experience there.
Do you remember?
Dozens of times better.
Do you remember our interaction with this one?
Where
I was like, do you know what's going on there? And you're like, yeah.
Anal. Yeah, I just said, anal.
No, it was more like, it wasn't your, but it was just something about the way, like, the rhythm with you said, you're like, anal.
And I was, like, so nonchalant about it, because that's what it is. It's anal. Yeah,
because it's really, and this is a lot of Alvin Baltrops are like this, too. A lot of guys didn't want to be photographed while they were fucking, necessarily, so you can see them. He's clearly, like, they obviously couldn't see him. He's in shadow. Like, they're framed, even though they're far off. You can see in the extreme foreground these sort of rotting timbers that are framing the image. So he's probably hiding under something or inside, like
in a building.
Yeah. So, which is interesting, because then we get into issues of
privacy
and consent. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're far enough away that you can't tell who they are.
Yeah, but still.
But so it's, you know, so there's it's another level of another layer of hiding. And of obfuscation, you know, that's necessary.
Good word.
Thank you. A lot of just such great shadows, though.
Yeah, he plays a lot around with shadows, and it's really great.
Uh-huh. What were you asking me? Okay, here we go. This one, Lee. We get definite, it's boner. It's Bonerville.
It's boner, yeah.
We get a hard dick, but we also...
I think it's like the smallest of the three dicks that we've talked about so far.
Yeah, but it's thick.
It is thick.
But what's more important...
no, there's nothing more important.
is that this that we do get this his personality. We see him from about mid thigh up. Mm-hmm. He's kind of playing with his left nipple. He's got his hair is bleached, mm-hmm. I think, and he's turning at the camera.
Similar
to Hard Dick, but it's less, and it's no less confident, but it's less cocky.
Mm.
But wouldn't you say that his expression is more like a sensual, like a seduction, don't you think? Yeah. Talk about that painting a little, or that painting, that photo.
That's a really good painting.
What's like the background and stuff?
It's like fading paint on a wall. And it kind of looks like there's like a door frame just like on the side. What would you say that was?
Yeah.
And of course, the most prominent part. Is this black man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, is what?
It's this black man.
Right. They're going to talk about the dick again.
No, but I mean, that is prominent. But I don't think you ever established that he's black.
Did I not say that?
No.
Right. Okay. So that's why it's a big deal. Because unlike torso, we see the whole person. We see the body and the cakes. Oh, man, look at the cakes. Mm. And then we get one that is just, it's called Interior Wall, and it's just
a picture of a dude sucking on a dick.
Well, yeah, so it's painting, it's like graffiti, it's tagged. So, obviously, there's a lot of dick-related activity going on here.
And
this one is actually a portrait of Stanley by Peter Hujar.
Oh my gosh, you're right! Wait, is it that, either that's the picture that his Instagram logo is... Or he's at the exact same pose.
Oh, I don't know, because I think this is not a recent picture on Instagram.
Well, I mean, the picture is in color, but like...
No.
Oh, not. No, it's that second to most recent post.
Oh, that is. It's posted. Oh, that's cool. I wonder if that's him taking the picture. I don't think that is him, actually. That would have been cool, because you can see there is reflection in the glass, if that were him taking a picture of the picture of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is him. Yeah, he's cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That muscle. But yeah, he does have muscles. But that mustache and that weird...
He has the line
goatee, yeah.
That doesn't like go off of his off of his chin.
Yeah, that's hard to pull off, but I think he does.
And it feels like it's a lot... That's just a hairstyle that would take a lot of like care and trimming, you know? Like, that requires a lot of effort to maintain, I feel.
Baldness?
No, the one mustache.
Oh, the beard. Oh,
the mustache line. Not the mustache, the beard line.
I thought you were like mocking him for being bald when he said his hairstyle.
No!
And then I in turn thought that you were mocking me.
No!
I thought you were bringing me down a peg after being puffed up by so many people.
I'm not. I mean, I'm still trying to think of like a good way to go about that process.
It's impossible, you can't.
I'll find a way.
This one was interesting. I really like this one, Danny.
Yeah.
1982.
We're on like a girder.
Yeah, huh?
Of some kind. And then this naked man is crawling at the camera.
Yes. And did you notice his dick? It's harder to see in this, but his dick is like pointing the way.
Yeah.
He's like a dog in heat. His red lipstick has come out to play.
Yeah. He actually has a physical gaydar, right?
it's pointing the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, this one really, like, this one, like, leans into camp territory a bit for me, because it's that really animalistic, intense pose, you know, that very serious look, but with, like, a dick.
Yeah,
like with the dick pointing the way, that...
And it's called Danny.
Yeah, it's just Danny. Hi, Danny. Come play with us, Danny.
But imagine if the kid... crawling towards the twins.
Yeah. Don't come play with us, Daddy.
Oh my god, Daddy, stop.
Daddy,
nope, goes in the elevator and leaves.
I'll take my chances with the blood elevator, thanks. Oh god. So this was, again, jock straps. Remember we were talking about jock straps in a recent episode?
Yes.
And you remember I walked up to this one. This is called Rolling a Joint. This is one of the main images from, I think, it's being used to like sell the exhibition to market it. Because, yes, he's technically rolling a joint, but he's also sitting on these concrete steps in his sneakers and whatnot. No shirt. Very short, like jean booty shorts. And his dick is sort of peering out from under the shorts, but it's in a jock.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the most times I've said dick in 30 minutes.
Just like ever in your whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Sure.
Certainly the most I've ever thought about him.
Yeah, sure.
But we had a little underwear discussion too at the exhibition, do you remember?
Yes.
Because you were asking, because then what were you, I don't remember it exactly.
There was one that was, yeah, it's just called Last Night's Underwear. And I was like, is this a jockstrap?
Right. And it's just briefs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's just briefs on the dirty floor.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Why not? Underwear. True. Awesome. And then this one's great. Ron diving into the Hudson River, just a naked dude.
Diving into the Hudson River.
Diving into the Hudson. So this one, see, I guess.
Presumably in Ron diving into the Hudson River, the guy's name is David.
Yeah, he's playing a joke on us. Aha, that's not Ron, that's David. I'd recognize that ass anywhere. Speaking of asses, actually, I wanted to. That reminded me. I wanted to read this quote from a recent interview that he gave to Interview Magazine about the exhibition, I think, or before. Maybe this was a previous one. Anyway, he said, I think people love the archival pictures because there is so little of that around, which I guess isn't because he's always posting even new stuff. Mm-hmm. Like he'll just walk around town and take pictures of people like at street corners and whatnot. So it's, you know, he's still photographing and posting.
But imagine if he walked up to you and asked to take a photo of you.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, clearly, I don't think he asks. It's often from behind. But yeah, I'd be like, hell yeah, Stanley Steller. Also, I just realized I'm so proud of myself. I was so worried I was going to keep calling him Stanley Steamer, which was like, do you know what a Stanley Steamer is?
No.
Here, I'll show you. It's this, it's like carpet cleaners. But I was so, because every time I think Stanley Steller, I'll go right to Stanley Steamer. That's funny. But I haven't called him that once.
Good job. I'm proud of you.
He says, all the people I know from that time are gone, long, long, long gone. That archival stuff resonates with a lot of the next generation who saw it, but weren't really knee deep in it. But you know what? No one wanted to see any of it ever. Stanley, they're so gritty. Why aren't you more like Mapplethorpe? Why don't you get off the street, Stanley? Stuttering Stanley. Stuttering Stanley. Sixth Sense. I got nothing but condescension for being an out gay photographer. Here I am, a lifetime later, and I find all this black and white film, and every time I look at one of those shots, it takes me right back to that moment. I found on Instagram, sex is always what sells. I got all my followers because of ass. Man, ass. In general, the public is not very visually sophisticated, even now with all the imagery our culture is saturated in. Damn, I think that point is, yeah, but 100% true.
It's true, yeah.
The more we get saturated with images, the less we're able to understand them. And there is just it's amazing that our lives are so visually oriented, but there's so little visual literacy. Mm-hmm. And it's true. I think that's why I first discovered him on Instagram. I think probably because of some ass picture or something. I don't know. We eat images now. I don't want future generations to not have any clue as to who their ancestors were and what their ancestors' lives were like. So that's why this work is so interesting and useful. And not useful. Ugh. Is there anything worse to say about art than that it's useful?
Art is going to save the world.
But it is important because of that connection. But so I emailed so I emailed and asked for a price list because I meant to when we were there, partly because I thought I might be interested in collecting some. I don't think I can afford them.
The first one we saw that hadn't been sold, I guess. Is that what that red dot means? Is it sold? $7,500.
Yeah, that's one called Down at the End of Lonely Street. But so Danny is for sale, $4,500. Oh. I could buy that, but I don't want to use that much money.
I would.
So most of them are... Oh, Last Night's Underwear is still available.
Ooh, for...
Which I'm not surprised. $3,000. Because it's a pair of underwear on a dirty floor. And that actually, I think, is one of his most interesting pictures, especially with the title, but because it doesn't have a hot dude with the big dick. Torso is still available.
For how much?
I'm not surprised. $3,000. Mm. Kind of not surprised about that. I also noticed that at the same time as black bodies tend to be dismembered in photography or, hypersexualized in a way that men's bodies may not be. It also tends to be the stuff that collectors are least interested in. Mm. So there's some weird double, it's like they get them coming and going, So I'm actually not surprised that one's not sold. I think these are a little bit out of my price range.
Just a little bit.
They've got Lee Lee has been sold. Was Hard Dick on here? Oh yeah. Oh, Hard Dick is available. $4,500.
That would be a good gag to open up next episode with. Hey guys, I just got Hard Dick in the mail.
It's too expensive for a
gag.
For a not really that amazing of a gag.
Wow. Chade. I can't believe you'd Chade me like that.
So what did you think of the exhibition overall?
I think all the shots of, like, just buildings were, like, really cool and really well-framed, I think. And it's just, like, interesting to look at all the fucking stuff falling apart, you know?
And all the fucking.
And all the fucking. And all the stuff for fucking.
Do you wish that you were in that scene at the time or live at that time?
Not really.
Oh, God, I do. I'm sure, I know I romanticize it, I know I need to, like, we even walked down that little alley between Canal and Walker, and even that was, like, a little shady.
Yeah.
When it, and, you know, so imagine 40 years ago what, like, streets like that would have been like.
Yeah.
And I know that it was dangerous and that there were muggings and all sorts of things, but I just can't help, ever since I saw this Nan Golden exhibition at MoMA in, like, 2016, I think. She's just a photographer around at the same time, kind of same scene downtown and stuff. I've just romanticized it, that era, so much. You know, I mean, you had like Basquiat and Herring and all the other people that we've mentioned. And it was that, you know, pre-AIDS.
Yeah.
Like before. And that's something that we haven't really touched on, but the fact that these piers started to be destroyed, not because of AIDS, but around the same time. So not only were they closing all the bathhouses, but, like, they were destroying the piers. So, like, all of the public places for having sex, they were being lost at a time when they were also dealing with the incredible amount of death and, you know, all the losses from AIDS.
Yeah.
So it sucked. And I know we shouldn't over-romanticize the period, but it's really hard not to. And I know, you know, we've got, there are nude beaches. Like, I know there are gay beaches. Like, there are still places to gather. It's not like those places are gone.
No.
But still, I can't help but romanticize it just a little bit.
I understand. Yeah.
Anything else you want to say to our lovely, lovely listeners?
Just find the images online. I think I already said that.
No, I'm cutting that out.
Right.
I cut that bit out when you talked about your boner.
Right. They're just really cool and interesting. And yeah, there's quite a few dicks.
Yeah. You can follow him on Instagram, Stanley Stellar, or Cap Cap. Follow them. Why do we always, like, stump for these artists or organizations as though we're being paid? Like, they can pay us if they want us to.
Yeah, that's true. You'll follow them, but we won't tell you their account name.
But I do look forward to returning to places like Cap Cap. Well, to Cap Cap specifically, you know, every time to see what else they've got.
Yeah.
Even if I can't afford any of it, I can at least go look at it when it's hung on the wall. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We are in, this is like episode 42. I can't believe it.
Of the pod as a whole, not just Document and Sun.
Yes.
And I heard that he said that we were on episode 40 like last week. And I was like, we have not done 40 episodes of Document and Sun.
Because you're still this narcissistic teenager. You think everything is specifically about you.
Correct.
That's right. But we've got some exciting, exciting stuff in the works.
Yes.
With 50 coming up.
Yes.
So stay tuned. Keep listening. Share, like, comment. Forward, tell all your friends about it. There's really exciting and big shit coming, so we want to make sure everyone gets to partake.
Yes, indeed.
All right, see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. This has been another House of Barbarism podcast, written, recorded, edited, and produced by Document of Barbarism. Your friendly neighborhood mountain man fairy princess. Remember, there is no document of civilization which is not, at the same time, a documenta barbarism. Mwah.